Bad news. They say bad news travels fast. Nobody likes bad news. And as bad as the news is these days, if you listen to it much, I don't think it gets much worse than what Jehoshaphat had to face, king of Israel. We find his story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And right off the bat in verse 2, we find that Jehoshaphat was the recipient of some bad news. Verse 2, the news comes. Some came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you. A vast army. This isn't a people who were coming, you know, to bring greetings. It wasn't a vast army that was coming to, you know, to do something nice for the guy. It was a vast army that was coming against Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel. This was not a small problem. Verse 1 tells us that there were Moabites, Ammonites, even some Menuhites who had come to make war. This was serious business that Jehoshaphat was going to face. A vast army. This isn't just some little, startup army. You know, it isn't just a little people who are, you know, banding together, rising up against Jehoshaphat to stir a little bit of trouble. This was a vast army. In my mind, I picture something like a swarm of locusts, you know, coming down and invading and devouring. If you've ever watched some of the Lord of the Rings films, you'd have an idea of what a vast army looks like. I could just imagine something like that coming against them. Imagine waking up to that kind of news. A vast army is coming against you. Verse 3, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Jehoshaphat was a smart man. He knew his limitations. They were obvious. He called out to God. Not only did he call out to God, but verse 4 says the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. I like that. The people coming together around their king, seeking God together. This wasn't a one-man job. This was the whole bunch of people coming together and praying together, seeking the Lord together. And so there's King Jehoshaphat. Instead of, you know, pretending everything's okay, you know, telling everybody, oh, everything's all fine, don't worry about it, we got it all under control, you know, giving that kind of an impression, because that's the kind of impression a leader would want to give. You know, oh yeah, everything's fine. We're going to take care of this. Don't worry about it. I got this covered. Instead, Jehoshaphat and his people together seek the Lord. Look at verse 12. Jehoshaphat is praying. Look how honest he is before his people, before God. He says, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. That's brutal honesty. We have no power. There's no pretending that he's got everything under control to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. Help! He's crying. But he says, our eyes are on you. And so while everyone is looking to the king is looking to the Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a wonderful and profound statement. The truth of the matter is that more of us can relate to Jehoshaphat than what we like to admit. How many times in our lives have we come to that place, faced that situation where we have said, we don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I'm in a desperate situation. Things are falling apart. Things aren't making sense. I don't know if I can ever get out of this situation. We don't know what to do. I think that many of us have been there with Jehoshaphat. Vast army of some form is coming against us. Oh, sure, it's not an army in a physical sense like Jehoshaphat faced, but there are things that come against us. And sometimes things start to fall apart and we don't know what to do. There's lots that we could do, but what we're really saying is we can't handle this. We're limited. We come to the same conclusion that Jehoshaphat did. We have no power to face this. We cry out to God, God, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to do this. I have no power. Have you been there? I'm pretty sure most of us have at some time or another. We've been at that place where we've said, I have no power to face this. Don't know what to do. For some people, that moment comes when an illness begins to invade the body. It's like a vast army coming against your body. One day you're minding your own business, going to work, doing your thing, looking after the kids, whatever, living life reasonably well. And the next day, something doesn't feel quite right. Maybe it's a pain in some part of the body. Maybe it's some discomfort. But instead of going away, it only gets worse. And it keeps getting worse to the point where I can't handle this. For others, it might come all of a sudden, more abruptly. One day they are healthy, and the next day they are hospitalized. I'm not sure if one is worse than the other, but either way, life gets seriously derailed awful fast. And the conclusion becomes similar to that of Jehoshaphat's in verse 12. When there's an illness that is overtaking us or a loved one, and you look and you say, I have no power. I can't do this. I want to fix it, but I can't. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. For others, the vast army takes the form of a broken relationship. Oh my, I can't imagine the pain that some have had to deal with when someone you love turns against you, abandons you, breaks vows, crumbles lives. And I know several people who have cried out to God in the midst of broken relationships, and the pain and the sorrow being as real as any pain inflicted by a weapon of man. When trust is broken, for many people, they have faced that vast army that has come against them through the form of broken relationships. And you have no power to face this. And you say, God, how? Why? What do I do? I don't know what to do. For some people, the vast army that comes against them is a different kind. It could be in the form of bill collectors, financial pressures. Maybe you're out of work. Or even if you are working, the bills keep getting higher. And there's no way around it. It seems like the harder you try, the more you end up in a hole. And it just seems like you're up against this big thing of financial mess. And you don't know what to do. What do we do? What do I do? I have no power anymore over this. For some people, from the time they were children, it felt like they were fighting a losing battle. Perhaps a father who wasn't there or maybe was there but was abusive. What a vast army against a child. A family member or a friend who took advantage of someone. A child's innocence lost. Maybe it was parents who just yelled at each other all the time. What would that do to a child? Seems like a vast army from an early age. And a child is like, what do I do? Who's there for me? Of course, for others, the vast army is in the form of an addiction. Many different forms, of course. Often used to cover up a pain. And I guess what I'm saying is, if we really took the time to get to know one another at a deeper level, I think we would find that in some way or another, most of us have faced a vast army of some sort that has come against us. And while we respond in desperation, we try anything. Sooner or later, we come to the same conclusion that Jehoshaphat did. We can't do it. We're too weak. The enemy, the situation is too strong. We don't know what to do. Well, God had an answer. God had an answer for Jehoshaphat, and God has an answer for you and for me. The Lord said to Jehoshaphat through a prophet in verse 15, he said, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. That's pretty tough to do in the face of a vast army. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged because of this vast army. And here's the reason, for the battle is not yours, but God's. This last week, we spent time in prayer here at the church on Wednesday night. And as we were praying for some very difficult situations, the thought that came to my mind is the battle is not yours, but God's. And we need to bring it to God. And the point I want us to remember this morning is simply this, that God knows where you are at. You are not hidden to him. And perhaps best of all, as God said to Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, but God's. That's the same conclusion that David came to. You remember when he was facing Goliath? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, as Goliath had mocked David and the men of Israel, David responded, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. There's that same concept again. The battle is the Lord's. That's confidence. And so my message to you this morning, if you are facing a vast army, a situation that is insurmountable, a simple reminder from both Jehoshaphat and later from David, that the battle belongs to the Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Having said that, it's important to note that David, after he said that, he didn't sit down and do a stare down with Goliath, you know, stare him down. Having said that, he picked up some stones He had some stones with him, and he picked one of them, put it in his sling, and he threw it. David had come prepared. He wasn't prepared in the way that King Saul would have thought that a guy should be prepared to go into battle. King Saul would have thought that he should have a heavy armor on. But David was prepared in the way that the Lord wanted him to be prepared. He had gone to the creek, gathered up the stones, and when the time was right, he took one and he flung it. Not only was David prepared, he took action. As I said, he didn't try to stare down Goliath. He took the stone, put it in a sling, spun it around his head, and released it. The truth of the matter is, God could have easily struck Goliath down, with or without David. So easily. God could have waved his little finger and, you know, Goliath could have been dust. He didn't even have to wave his little finger. You know, I mean, what's Goliath to God? Nothing. God could have easily taken care of Goliath without David, but he let David get involved. He wanted David to get in on the action. David had a part. He needed to do something. It wasn't David's strength. It wasn't his experience. It wasn't his brains. It was his obedience. But he still had a part. And like Jehoshaphat, we have a part. And this morning, if there is a vast problem, a situation that has surfaced in your life, or in someone close to you, and it seems like it is far more than you can handle, I want to encourage us to take a lesson from Jehoshaphat and David. First, to put our eyes upon the Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a great place to start. The battle belongs to God. Whatever the situation you are dealing with, the battle belongs to the Lord. Secondly, like David, we need to come prepared. And when I think about spiritual battle or any kind of battle that we are engaged in, and coming prepared, the question that comes to my mind is there something hindering our victory? It's important to come to God with a heart that seeks after Him. So many times we are told to confess our sins. We are told to let go of everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We need to be prepared. We need to come to God and say, God, what do you want from me? What can I do to prepare? Is there something in my heart? Is there something in my life that isn't quite right? They're not saying necessarily that there is, but the question is still there. Is there? Is there something in my life that is a hindrance to you giving me victory? Is there something in my life that is a problem that is blocking your answer, your presence, or your peace? We need to prepare. I believe that's how we do it. Throw off things that hinder, the sin that so easily entangles. And third, we most likely need to take some action. Maybe not always, but often God works through us and He expects us to take some action. He expects us to do something, maybe to change something. That's what repent means. Repent means to turn around. It's an action. It's not just something we do in our head, I'm sorry, God. But it's a change. It's a change in our direction. An about face, so to speak. And is there something that we need to do? Is there an action that we need to take? There are some instances where God says, I don't want you to do anything, just stand and watch. But there are other times too, more often than not, that he wants us to do something. There's something, maybe take a step of faith, maybe spend time in prayer, maybe, I don't know what it is. I don't know, I wouldn't even begin to try to imagine, but we need to, friends, when that vast army is coming, we need to look to the Lord. We need to say, God, is there anything in my life that is going to be a hindrance to your work here? And God, is there something you want me to do? Something you want me to change? Something in my heart or life that isn't quite right? And so we go to the Lord in prayer. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I want to encourage you, friends. That's where we need to be. As I said, next week we're going to begin a week of prayer. And I want to encourage you that if there is something in your life that has been a challenge, or someone close to you that is facing a vast army, I really believe we need to pray, remembering that the battle belongs to the Lord. It is His. But at the same time, we need to ask ourselves, is there something hindering, something in the way? Is there something, Lord, that you'd have me to do in preparation? And when we do that, and when we turn our eyes to the Lord, and we look to Him, we depend on Him, I totally, totally believe God's answer in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's my prayer for you, for me, for the church, that God would do immeasurably more in each of our lives, in our situations, the vast army that you might be facing. Maybe it's not so vast in your situation. Praise God. Praise God if it's just a little army. But the response is the same. God is able to do. Would you let Him? Would you look to Him? Would you ask Him about your own life, about my own life? What would you have for me? And together, by doing so, I am sure that we will have the victory in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to You this morning. And Lord, I don't presume to know what is happening in people's lives or even assume that there is something that is difficult or contrary or whatever. But Lord God, You know our hearts and You know where we're at. And maybe there's just one person today who is feeling like Jehoshaphat did. Wow. What is this news that's come to me? How do I handle this? I don't know what to do. Father God, I pray that You'd help each one of us to turn our eyes to You and then to ask You to search us. If there's something in our lives that is a hindrance to Your work, something that maybe we need to take change, an action we need to take, Lord. Pray, Father God, that You would lead us and, Lord, that You would strengthen us, Lord God. As we go into a week of prayer next week, Lord, we pray that You would strengthen us. The battle is real, but our God is all-powerful. And so, Lord, we pray that You would do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. And I pray, Lord God, Your blessing upon Your people here today. Lord, again, just pray, Father God, that You would be with them, be with us, guide us, lead us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.